Well, we're there, and if you're still with us after that chaotic start, well played, you get 10 points. Welcome to Wednesday Night Shift Chairs, brought to you all the way from Chilliwog in Wales. Twilliog? Chilliwog? Twilliog? I'm sure someone will know how to say it, but it's between Pwllheli, Pwllheli,
Pathetic.
Pwllheli, between Pwllheli and Cricieth, which is where I am with my wonderful family, but I could not come online for my last ever shift church with you guys, which is very sad. I'm sure I might be tuning in every now and again to say hello, to cause some mischief. So that's a bit sad, but we're really pleased that you're here watching at home or catching up later on YouTube or on our iTunes podcast page. And we're going to introduce ourselves before we see who's on the stream. So my name's David. I'm the curate at All Saints Church Wellington.
Hi, I'm Sean. I'm not the curate at All Saints Wellington.
There's a vacancy coming up though.
Oh, okay. I might have to think about
Hi, I'm Liz. I'm also not
it
the curate at
then.
all.
Just because I've not got my dog collar on you, so people might not know that I'm genuinely someone like that. Who knows? We had a really weird day today, right? We bumped into some people on the beach and made some random friends with people who are friends with people who go to church here in Cricket, which is really
That's good.
strange. And yesterday, when we were on the steam train, I bumped into someone who's met, I chatted to one of the volunteers. He's married to a vicar, and another volunteer was doing something at a Bible college in Warsaw because he lives in the Midlands and just drives to Cricket to do the trains every now and again.
Small
Well, that's
world.
cute. You just met them randomly.
Yeah, just randomly.
Oh, that's cool. Who's
Who's
online
brilliant.
tonight,
Liz?
Yeah. Small world, isn't it?
Small world. Who have we got joining us tonight?
So we've got Ali, got Tom is watching, and I can't see what any of the others. There's a lot of people watching,
Well,
but I
that's
can't
good.
see names.
Well, if you're watching and you're hiding, you're so welcome to hide. You don't have to say anything. You can have us on and be soaking or doing the dishes or just relaxing in the bath. Maybe you're in the garden. You don't have to be saying hello. But if you'd like to say hello, that'd be really cool. And you can tell us who you are and we'll say hello to you. And today we're looking all about singing because that's what we looked at church on Sunday, because it's the first Sunday for a year and a half, I think, that we were allowed to sing. I don't know how you guys found that when you were in church on Sunday morning.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I really loved, hearing people singing and being able to sing. And but I felt okay because, we were still wearing masks, so and it's still fairly distant, so it was okay. But it was lovely. It's such a lovely feeling to be kind of worshiping together like that. I mean, we were always worshiping, but there's just something in it, isn't there, in the act of
No,
singing.
I find it so hard not to sing, especially when they play one of those songs that just gets you. And I'm like, oh, it's so hard. And so it was great just to let rip on Sunday morning and go for it. And we sang a couple of extra songs than we normally would just because we've missed it so much. So we got our money's worth out of the band this Sunday morning, got value for them. That's good. So what we thought we'd do to kick things off, we were talking about singing and we're going to be thinking about sun worship. We're going to have a go at singing or charading or miming or whatever it is, our favorite worship song. Now, just a heads up that I've only told Liz and Sean about this just before we came on live, so about 4 minutes ago. Liz can't wait. She loves stuff like this. She was so pleased with me. So I'll go first. It's really hard to choose one, actually. So I'll go first while Liz and Sean can panic and think what they're going to do. So your job in the comment stream, or maybe you're watching and listening at home and you can't join in, is to guess what you think it is. These two might, the other two people can try and guess as well. But let's see if the comment stream can tell us what it is. So I'm going to have a go at humming mine. Now I feel this is a bit of a silly idea, but I'm going to go through with it anyway. I'm going to do it. Do, do, do. I think I'm ready. Do, 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 do. Do 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 Go for it.
Jesus Christ. Living Hope.
Yes, Liz, one just got it. Living Hope. I don't know if anyone else got it in the comment stream. Sean, did anyone get there?
No, not yet.
I was going to do that one. But it took me a while to work out that you were doing.
Oh, no.
I'll choose something different.
He shouldn't have said that. You could have carried on and seen if we'd have known. Go on then, Sean. While Liz is panicking, you do one. Are you doing or acting?
No. I'll do what you just did. I'll try and get the right key.
My God, I can't remember. That is who you are. Is it Waymaker?
Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
I think we're live. Oh, I'm just turning my Facebook page on. It is live. It's just literally erupted on my phone. Garden lives. Have you thought of one, or do you want us to move on?
Oh no, I thought of one. I'll just but I don't do humming. Okay.
Okay, so, that's fine.
This is like okay. So
four words. First word. Oh. Second word. Worship. Worship.
Worship. Come on,
worship.
Keep going.
Worship. Worship. Magnify.
Worship.
Praise.
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 Oh, praise. Oh, so praise the name.
Yeah.
All right. Very good.
Really good, because I couldn't think of a way to do name.
That is a good song. That is a good one. And you at home or listening, you might have your favourite worship song. Do tell us what it is in the comments. We'd love to know your favourite worship song, maybe why it's important to you. And today, or maybe you're someone that doesn't like singing at all, even if that's you. So if tonight you've tuned in and you're like, oh, I really don't like singing, or maybe you can't sing for whatever reason. I mentioned this at the beginning of my sermon that I've had to crop short later on because it was too long. But we'd still love you to join in, and we hope that you'll still get something from it to encourage you as we think about what it means to sing and why we sing. And so we've got a little kind of spoken word piece to begin with before we have our Bible readings, which talks about worship and the importance of sung worship. Sean, before we do that, anything to chuck in from the comment stream?
Not yet, I'm afraid. There's quite a few people watching and saying hello, and I've just joined us, basically.
That's fine. That's absolutely fine. Right, let's have a go at seeing if I can do this without it all going horribly wrong. Are we ready? Oh, can you still see me, everyone?
Yeah.
Okay, that's okay. I'm not doing the spoken word. I'm just playing around with it. Right, here we go. Oh. Try again. Can you see that?
No volume, David, that's all. Need some volume, David. We can see it, but can't hear it.
Yeah, can't hear it, David. You there?
David, where are you?
This isn't how you worship, but it is when you worship. Because when you love to worship, you may go to work, but you come to worship. You feel the warmth of the sun in worship, like thank you, God, for your blessings.
Don't you hear it now?
To worship. This is not a genre.
Yeah.
Gene.
Yeah, we can hear it, David.
Present in the DNA of all of the redeemed. We don't worship to be clean. We worship because he cleaned us. And sometimes worship is a war to fight what tries to come between us. The spirit intercedes and this worship becomes real, as if we are at his throne pouring perfume on his feet. Consumed with a peace that won't be moved, it completes us. And yes, we are giving to God, but not outgiving what we're getting from God. Isn't this odd? You see, God is pouring the fuel of faith in our heart. The fire overwhelms and sets passion ablaze in our heart. And as we gaze at the cross with eyes of faith, we still find ourselves surprised by grace. This compels us to worship with our beings, our life, our breathing, our passions, our seeing. Keep believing, never ceasing, this offering of joyful proclamations to let the world know about the God who saved us. When is the last time you picked up his word and said, God, I'm reading to worship, not just to know how to worship or become inspired to worship, but believing your word is true is a form of worship to you. Sometimes being still is worship. Sometimes shouting loud or bowing down or looking unto the hills is worship. Sometimes you may raise your hands, other times you'll be undone. You may laugh or you may cry so hard no words can escape your lungs. You may be surrounded by the body of Christ or alone in your room seeking the Father of lights. I'm not against a full band, bass, guitars, keys, drums, leads, lows, as long as every pluck, every stroke, every hitting of the keys, a pounding of the drum is done for the honor and glory of the Son. People, God's people, we should love to worship because he loved us first when we didn't deserve it.
I did like that one. Yeah.
Pardon?
I liked that.
Yeah, it wouldn't be Shift Church without something going wrong, so apologies for that. But
no problem.
But yeah, you can catch it up on YouTube if you missed the first 30 seconds of it. But I thought that was quite challenging and a good lead up into our Bible reading. So I think we're going to have Liz first and then Sean, and then we'll go straight from our Bible readings into my talk. Now, if you were here on Sunday, you'll notice that I think I just said I had to chop it a bit because I did get quite excited on Sunday and talk for longer than really we normally do. But I'm leaving soon, so I don't mind. I'm preaching again next Sunday, so beware. So if you think, oh my goodness, it's a bit of a strange start, it is. I miss out the intro and I'll probably cut it off to a slightly early as well. So if you're sitting there or listening at home thinking, oh, I want to know a bit more, Do catch up on our YouTube channel or podcast page after you've joined in tonight. Okay, I'll be quiet now and we'll go over to Liz, then Sean, and then watch me, which will be weird.
That'd be good. Okay, great. So my reading is Acts 16 and it's verses 25 to 33. So that's Acts 16, 25 to 33. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in the house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized.
So I'm reading from Mark 14. It's the Last Supper. And I'm reading from verse 22 to verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. He said to them, "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
Amen. So over to me, which is strange. A couple of weeks ago, I think we did something while we were listening that I thought was quite helpful. So we might think of a light bulb moment and a question mark. So something that makes you go, "Oh, that's interesting." Something we might want to discuss. And maybe something that makes you ask a question. It might make you go, "Oh, I'm not sure about that." And that's okay. People here and people on stream are allowed to disagree with me. I'm not God, for goodness sake. So we can say, "Oh, that's not sure. I'm not sure about that." or whatever. Just, you know, you might have absolutely nothing, and that's okay. That might be helpful to shape our discussions that we'll have afterwards. Okay. Let's see if I can do it right this time.
So in Acts 16, Paul and Silas are praying and they're singing hymns to God. The prisoners are listening to them. Suddenly this violent earthquake and the chains break off and the doors fly open. Here we are with Paul and Silas. We're in a stinking, dirty prison. They've just been beaten up pretty badly. They've been thrown in prison with people who probably aren't that, you know, you wouldn't choose to spend a night with people that might be in prison. I think that's fair to say. And what do? They don't sit there quietly and keep themselves to themselves. They start singing. I wonder what the other prisoners would have thought. Oh, here we are. We're stuck in prison. The rats are nibbling my toes again. I didn't do anything wrong. And now these, not Bible bashers, I guess. What would you, Torah bashers are here singing. What's the, you know, but Paul and Silas are there. They don't care about the external circumstances. They don't care about the people that are around them giving them dirty looks. They're there and they're singing hymns to God. That's our first one, singing to God. And in fact, if we get a bit geeky at the moment and look at the Greek, that word singing hymns is more about praising God. You know, they could be singing hymns of lament. I think if I was stuck in prison, I'd probably be singing a hymn about, "Why am I here in prison, God? What have I done? This isn't very fair." I'm not a songwriter, can you tell? But I wouldn't be singing praises to God. But here they are singing of the goodness of God, singing about his faithfulness, singing praises, singing hymns to God. And you know, it's easy to do that, isn't it, when life's good? One of my favourite songs is "The Goodness of God." We sung it last week. And it's easy to sing of the goodness of God when our life is full of goodness. But when life is just a bit rubbish, and when the view isn't as good, and when the path isn't as smooth, and when it's an uphill battle, how easy is it for us still to sing praises to God? Because he's always good. I find that difficult sometimes. And it's good to lament. It's good to have that side of things. But we do so with an attitude to God and his goodness and his faithfulness. The psalmist got this in Psalm 47. Oh, I've got a bit carried away. Sorry, where are we? There we go. The psalmist said this in Psalm 47. Written by one of the sons of Korah. And it's a song lifting praise to the king. And it says, "Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. He's ascended amidst shouts of joy. Sing to the Lord." Sing praises to the Lord. Our first song echoed these words, didn't it? The Psalms, the biggest book in the Bible, the book of Psalms. It's a book of song. It's a book of song to God, and it laments and it has a go at God, but it does all of this sometimes, and it does all of that with a direction to who God is and his faithfulness. So we clap, we shout with joy, we sing praise to God. And for me, sometimes when I'm singing, it's such a good reminder that I'm not just singing, I am singing to the King, to Jesus, the Lord of Lords. We sing to him. And I think this is also especially encouraging to those of us maybe who don't feel that we've got maybe the best singing voice. Maybe for some of us we feel, oh, I can't sing too loudly because I'm not very good. Maybe actually it's something that really puts us off coming to church because singing is so difficult. A friend of mine when I was younger, her dad, I think the phrase is, couldn't hold a tune in a bucket. That's a Black Country phrase, isn't it? Couldn't hold a tune in a bucket. And he'd admit that. He was dreadful. What he wasn't bad at is projection. Oh, volume-wise, oh my goodness, he could sing. And my my abiding memory of him. And we were in quite a small community church, and there was a couple of us leading worship, but the congregation would start a song and we'd join in, and it was beautiful, organised chaos. And my abiding memory of him is him stood there, eyes closed, hands up, and he was lost in love with Jesus, singing, "You are beautiful beyond description, too marvellous for words," golden oldie. And he was there with his hands up, singing away. The whole of Norfolk, I think, could hear that this guy loved Jesus, but he didn't care. And I can remember afterwards going up to him and saying, in the nicest possible way, saying, "Derek, how do you do that? Because you know you can't sing. Everyone..." And he said, "I don't sing for other people. I sing to Jesus." And it's simple, isn't it? But it struck me, and I was like, yeah, you know what? What a good reminder that we don't sing to bring pleasure to other people. It's almost like a secondary effect, right? It was lovely this morning as we were singing to hear each other. I found that such a blessing. But that's not the primary reason we do it, is it? Psalm 100 says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord." It doesn't say make a skillful noise or make a good noise. Now, that doesn't mean that anyone can get up on the stage and have a ministry worship leading before everyone jumps on John and Lucy and says, "Can I come and sing?" And they go, "Ooh, this is awkward." But what it does mean is that all of us have a calling to be worshippers. And there's a difference, isn't there? Make a joyful noise. Because Ephesians 5 says, "Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord." That's where it comes from. The Encyclopedia Britannica missed that out. That we sing to Jesus from our hearts. That's where our love and our joy for him overflows. So we sing, first of all, to Jesus, out of a heart of gratitude and joy for all that he has done. Doesn't matter what we sound like. Doesn't matter what our life is like. We sing to Jesus. Secondly, we sing about Jesus. We sing of all he's done and all that he will do. And there's an old line that I was told at theological college, which is, people remember 5% of a good sermon and 95% of a mediocre worship song, which is a bit of a challenge for me. Maybe I'll test you on that tomorrow. Luckily, we don't sing mediocre songs here. And I don't know how good the sermons are either, to be honest. But yeah, you keep that to yourself until I've left. But many of you will know that I used to be a geography teacher. And what I used to do when I was a geography teacher is I'd write geography songs, still available on iTunes. You can download them. And what I'd do is I would take leakage, which is a geographical process, which is locals losing out on money. You'd know that if you listen to the song. So you've got leakage, and we had the demographic transition model and all this stuff. And it's quite hard to get your head around. So I'd sit there with these rough kids from Birmingham, get my guitar out, and I'd say, "Come on, kids, let's sing along. You'll get detention if you don't, because that means you're not doing the work. Come on, let's sing along." And they'd moan and groan. But I kid you not, in the exam, you'd see them sit there. You'd see them going through the words in the leakage as the local. Oh, you'd write it down. It's hilarious. And even now, sometimes I hear Kimberly singing a few of my geography songs, which is proof that it works. But it's not a new trick to sing to remember things. It is literally one of the oldest tricks in the book. Have I gone too far with my slides? Let's have a look. Maybe I got confused. Dun, dun, dun. Is it that one? Oh, never mind. Oh, it's there. Job 36:24. So many of us will know the book of Job, the oldest book in the Bible. And here we've got a Job's friend, Elihu, and he says this: "Remember to magnify his," that's God, "remember to magnify God's work, which men have praised in song." It's the oldest trick in the book. We sing to magnify and we sing to remember what Jesus has done. The Bible doesn't just tell us to do it. The Bible gives us examples. The first worship leader in the Bible was a lady called Miriam, and she says this. So we read in Exodus 15, Moses led the people out of Egypt. Pharaoh has said, "Yes, no, yes, no. Yeah, you can go. Oh, I've changed my mind again." Pharaoh is racing after the people of Egypt. They are fleeing for their lives, and they get through the Red Sea. The horses of Pharaoh went into the sea, and the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them. And Miriam, the prophetess, took the timbrel in her hand. All the women went out with her, dancing. And she said, "Sing to the Lord." We have it again. Sing to the Lord. "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously." And then she says what it's about. Horses and riders he has thrown into the sea. So out of a place of rescue and rejoicing, Miriam sings about God. Now, Jewish scholars have been arguing about this a bit, because generally, Jewish women didn't sing in public. It was a disgraceful thing to do. You might do it at home with your husband, but you wouldn't do it at home. You wouldn't dance. You wouldn't get a tambourine. But actually, what the Jewish scholars in general say here is, actually, they did. Here you've got Miriam and all the women dancing and remembering what God has just done. And Mark, like a bit of an Ebenezer, saying, this is what God has done at this point. We're going to sing. And it's been recorded for us in our Holy Scriptures. Miriam singing of God's goodness. So we sing about Jesus, about God, about all that he has done. We also sing to learn. I said that about my geography songs, don't we? We learn our theology from our songs. Many of you will know this verse. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. And then it says, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. A great Christmas carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And every year, thousands, maybe millions of people will sing that, many of whom don't know Jesus. Many of whom, if you said incarnational theology, they'd say, you what? Pardon, put your teeth back in, vicar. But here they are singing about what we believe, that Jesus himself came fully divine and fully human. Wesley did well here, didn't he? But we also have songs that maybe cause a bit of issues. When I was at theological college, one of our lecturers took issue with the hymn, And Can It Be? I mean, I love that hymn. How can you have an issue with it? And he would say, well, actually, he didn't empty himself of all but love because he was still holy and divine and good. And I'm like, yeah. And it got to the point where it was a bit of a standing joke that whenever we'd sing that hymn, he would stand there and refuse to sing. And we'd all kind of point at him and laugh, which isn't what you're meant to do when you're worshipping Jesus, because you're singing to Jesus, aren't you? I should have listened to my sermon. But there's something about what we believe when we sing that does make an impact. I love that hymn, and I think we can sing that line. The other song that was kicking off in college was the song Reckless Love. And we had some people say, well, if reckless means careless or irresponsible, that's not God. And I say, well, yeah, I agree with that. But then when you look at the testimony of the guy that wrote the song Reckless Love and the idea that Jesus would leave 99 and go after one, sounds a little bit reckless. Am I allowed to say that, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean? It sounds quite... Why would you do that? If you look at the stained glass window behind me, you'll see that Jesus is white. But we know he wasn't really, was he? So anything we do with music, with art, nothing can fully tell us about Jesus. My point is that we learn what we believe through our songs. And finally, when we sing about Jesus, it's a witness to people who don't know him. One of the reasons my wife became a Christian is she went to a Vineyard church. They were singing about Jesus, and she looked around and she was like, oh, I think these people actually believe what they're singing about. They look happy. They look like they believe in this God. And that was one of the things that stepped her on the journey of faith. And we don't know who's in church with us when we sing. We don't know the impact of what we're singing, the impact that will have. So we sing to Jesus, we sing about Jesus, and finally we sing for Jesus. We sing for all he's done, we sing for all he's doing, and we sing for all he's continuing to do. We saw this in our reading in Mark, that short reading that Nigel brought us, when they're at the table with Jesus, they're remembering all that he's there, they're kind of talking about what he's going to do, and then they sing a hymn together. You see, we sing, don't we, when we're winning. If any of you are watching the Euros, your fans, you get louder when you start winning. If your team's 1-0 up, you might start, here we go, 2-0, here we go, 3-0, where are we going to? And they're going for it. And my friends, we're on the winning team. Jesus isn't winning, Jesus won. And so we are people who can sing for all that Jesus has done. He's the champion, he's the first and the last. He's the firstborn from among the dead. He holds the keys of death and hell. He's the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords. Why would we not sing in response to all that he has done? And we get a great glimpse of this. It's made so clear in Revelation, the last book in the Bible, which talks about the victory of God, the coming King, the victory that we will see one day. That's part of this book of Revelation. And we read this. They, the saints, they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seal, for you were slain, you ransomed people. singing for Jesus, singing for all that he has done. And we read it again in Revelation 15. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, singing, "Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God Almighty." Do you remember what I said at the beginning, the lines are blurred. So here they are singing about Jesus as well as for Jesus. And they're probably singing to him as well. Who will not fear you? Who will not glorify your name? I think when we sing, something shifts. And I'm a bit wary about saying kind of the natural side of things and the supernatural side. I don't think that's really how things work. I don't think that line is that distinct. But I do think that when we sing, something shifts kind of in our spirits. Some of you might testify to that when you're having a tough time, when you're in one of those really bad seasons. You think, where on earth has God gone or whatever? And you go to maybe your favourite worship album. Conversely, maybe when you want to celebrate and you want to thank God for all he's done, maybe there's a song or a worship song that you go to or a hymn that you go to that expresses it better than you could. I remember years ago when I was at another church, I was leading worship and we were singing the song Make Way for Christ the King. Good old Kendrick. If you're keen on Kendrick, you'll know that one, a good old classic one. And we were practicing it, and before the service, a lady came in and she was clearly struggling. She'd clearly been doing some stuff that had really left her quite worse for wear. And as she came in, she sat down, and just something in my spirit said that she really needs some prayer, intense prayer and help, really. And I kind of ignored it because I was busy, thank you, Lord. And I picked up my guitar, and we started singing that song. And there's one line that says, "He comes the broken hearts to heal, the prisoners to free." And just as we sung that song, this lady almost jumped out of her chair and ran out of the building. A few of us went after her. She was outside, and we prayed with her for about three, four hours. And in the end, she was a lot freer than she was when she came in. There was something about us singing that song that affected something that was inside her that shouldn't have been there, that she didn't want in there. I'm wary of getting too hocus-pocus about it, because I actually think it's kind of natural for us as Christians to be aware of that side of things. I think there's power when we sing. And we see this in Revelation, this cosmic battle really that's going on. And when we come and we worship and we sing, we join in with the heavenly angels, the heavenly army, singing praise to God. So we're going to have a go at singing now. I invite the band to come up. And we're going to sing to Jesus. And we're going to sing about him. And we're going to sing for him. And
I told you it would be a bit of a sudden stop. So apologies for that. All we tend to do then at the end of the talk is just kind of wait and see what the Holy Spirit might be saying anyway. So, which is always very important, isn't it? But I guess before we kick off, any thoughts from the stream, Sean, about anything that was said then?
Charlotte says, sing loud and proud.
Definitely.
Ali's saying, do you think there's a difference between praise and worship?
Oh, that's a good one. We can talk about that in a minute. That's a really good question. We can come to that. We'll park that and just see if Sean has anything else to say. That's a good question, Ali.
Definitely.
Any more comments or questions?
No.
Cool. Okay. Well, do continue to chip in if you've got any. But should we kick off with that question? Because that's quite a good one. Is there a difference between praise and worship? What do we think?
It's a tricky one,
isn't it? I think that almost comes under what you were talking about the original Greek, that they were singing a hymn. And the singing a hymn meant giving praise rather than a song of lament or something like that. And they have chose to give praise to God within their circumstances. They chose to praise him even when everything looked hopeless. And I think when I think about praise and worship, it's almost like worship is a lifestyle, a whole thing. It's not just singing. And in a way, praise can be like that as well, because we can praise God through our lives. But when you think about singing praise, that's a little bit different. But I don't know, maybe they're interchangeable, but different points can be brought out.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they're interchangeable. And, you know, the Bible says that we were created to worship God. We were created to praise God. So that's something that we have to do. It's in us to do it, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I like the idea of what you're saying, Liz, the worship isn't just about singing. It's every aspect of our life should be an offering to God, you know, in terms of everything, our job, our family life, our going out, whatever, should be an act of worship to God. So that's really good.
Yeah.
And we have to be careful that we're not singing empty words and that our lives reflect what we are singing. Because this is a really powerful verse in the book of Amos.
Yeah.
That talks about how God is really angry at the people who are just giving him empty words in worship. And he says something like, away with the noise of your songs, away with the noise of your harps and lyres, but let justice flow like a river and righteousness like a never-failing stream. And I think that's so powerful, because God is saying, I've seen your heart, and your heart is not for me, and your heart is not for justice for the poor and the oppressed.
Yeah.
And so worship and praise springs from that place of justice for everyone and of love for God in your heart, and not just singing pretty words.
Yeah. I think Ephesians 5 says that, doesn't it? It says that singing, make music in your heart to God, and how actually, the music of our heart is what God cares about. And that was actually one of the verses that really started me on the journey of choosing to start our family through adoption. Because, I mean, I love worship and I love big top, you know, lively, charismatic worship, singing in tongues. I love it so much. And I can remember God just really gently and lovingly kind of challenging me and saying, OK, well, if you love it that much, how sacrificial is that? You know, if you really, I mean, of course we enjoy praising and worshiping God. But I do remember the Lord just being really loving and just saying, yeah, David, if it's really easy to do that, not that it's not worship, but there is a challenge there. And conversely, once, I better not say which church it was, none of you will probably know it, but we went to a church one morning and it's not a local one, but we went in and then came out and I was like, oh my goodness, well, that's 2 hours of my life, an hour and a half, I'm not getting back. And then, but on the way back, I kind of felt the Lord say to me, well, that was proper worship then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's a sacrament. And I was like, okay, yeah, I get that.
A good one for me, many years ago when I became a Christian, the church I was in basically didn't really, well, they didn't have a band, really. It was a lady who played the piano. And my parents had tried to encourage me when I was 16 to play the guitar, and I had a few lessons, but really wasn't that interested. But then, like I say, in my church, it kind of came to me that, you know, this church needed a band or someone to lead worship. So I actually went to music school to learn to play the guitar.
Yeah.
And from there, went into leading worship in my church with the ladies that played the piano, and we were kind of like, we were the band kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it was really good because, you know, from that point onwards, I got a real buzz out of playing the guitar in church, and it's something that for me is just keeps me alive, really, I guess, being able to worship God through, you know, playing an instrument. I love it, you know, being part of the band at All Saints is great. I love doing that. And for me, that's my worship, I guess.
Yeah. I think everything you said there, David, I really agreed with and loved what you said about just giving praise to God within our circumstances, and that being an act of worship, but also a statement and something that changes things, something that has power in the heavenlies to change things. Yeah. And not necessarily actually that it changes our circumstances, but that it changes our response, it changes us. So I've had a few points in my life, as most of you know, where I've been in a lot of pain, or And I just remember one time being in hospital, I had pneumonia, I was very sick with it. And I remember Tim sitting on a bed and just singing, it was Blessed Be Your Name, that old Matt Redman song. And it didn't suddenly, I wasn't suddenly healed or anything like that, but it shifted something in my spirit to help cope in that situation. Just by praising. And I think it's a change of perspective.
Yeah.
But I think it's also an act of statement to the powers and principalities, as it were, you know, to the enemy.
Yeah.
And because on Sunday we sang Raise a Hallelujah, didn't we? And I think our song is so powerful, massively powerful.
I love that one.
Because what we're doing is saying, I'm going to keep singing through the storm. Louder and louder, you're going to hear my praises roar. And it's like, I'm going to make this statement, I'm going to keep on going, whatever I feel like. And I was feeling a huge low ebb on Sunday, but singing those words, it's like, no, I'm going to keep doing this, I'm going to keep praising. And it's hugely powerful, I've found.
And it's not like a magic spell, is it? You're right, it's not just like that. I will. It's not like God's a vending machine that if we sing two Bethel songs or whatever, He'll change our circumstances or whatever. But I think you're right. There's something about it, maybe, that reminds us or puts us in. Our perspective shifts a bit. And I don't know what I don't know where this comes in Scripture. I've got to be careful when I say it. But I've experienced that, like you said, something shifts in terms of. This might sound a bit hocus-pocusy to some people listening, but stay with me, that something in the atmosphere changes in the spiritual realm. And I don't like that phrase, because I think the natural and spiritual actually are really more interlinked than we think. Because as Christians, we're naturally supernatural beings, right? But I do think, and I don't know what it is, you know, but something happens when we declare who God is and say who He is and praise Him. And maybe it's as simple as the evil spirits don't like it to run away.
There's loads in the Bible about that kind of thing. Just thinking in the Psalms, like in Psalm 8, when he says he has silenced the enemy and avenger through the praise of small children. And then there's that whole thing about let the high praise of God be in our mouths, you know, about the two-edged sword in our hands. Inflict, you know, vengeance on the, powers and principalities and all of that. I can't remember the exact words, but it's just the power of praise is really there through the pages of Scripture as well.
I've got a comment from Heather, and she says, to me, worship is giving God His whole worth, and praise is part of that. I think worship is much deeper.
Yeah. So almost like praise is a part of worship.
I think that, you know, the worship as well, it draws you close to God. It brings you into God's presence when you're having a time of worship. It brings you right into that throne room.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I feel when you need your spirit lifting, if you like. You know, when you sing songs to God, it does lift you, because you feel close to God, you feel in His presence, you feel like, you know, you're right there in the throne room where the Bible says that He's been worshipped day and night. Doesn't it say that's what's happening? Yeah. So for me, that's what I try and do daily, you know.
I think there are times as well that we don't necessarily feel that, you know. Sometimes it's like it's dry and can feel dark, you know, if we're going through a particularly difficult time, but somehow still doing it is obeying God.
Yes.
There's power in that as well, and obedience, and that brings breakthrough in itself by bringing that sacrifice of praise when we can't feel anything.
Definitely.
I do think I want to get to the point, to the stage in my kind of worship lifestyle, if that sounds too non-cheesy, where regardless of style, I can truly worship. Because we've all got different styles that we like, haven't we? And and like if I go to maybe a more traditional service at the cathedral, I find it harder to worship there than I would do at a more informal contemporary thing. But actually, if it doesn't, it shouldn't be like that, should it? Because I'm not worshiping. I'm worshiping God. I'm singing to God. And I guess part of it of our personality and what we're used to, and I think that's okay. But I should be able to. I would like to be able to actually get to a point where I can say, okay, this isn't my cup of tea, and I'm struggling, but I can worship. And if I'm honest, I don't know if I could at the moment, depending on, you know, if I went to some choir chanting psalms in plain song, I'd probably just find it quite difficult. Not that they're not worshiping, I'm not saying that, but I would struggle to do that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's a time and a place for different genres of worship, you know, like you say, cathedral type thing. You know, if you're, I don't know, if you go to a cathedral and you've got people are being becoming vicars, and there's, you know, that sort of service, as you know, generally in the cathedral it'll be organ music, won't it? And it kind of fits in with what's going on. Do you know what I mean? Whereas obviously if you've got in a church where the worship is a bit more, I guess, evangelical or charismatic, if you like, it kind of lends it to the environment, you know, the people that are going, all that sort of thing. So I think, you know, it's really, I think you're just not about being in the right mood, but obviously just accepting that there are different ways of worshiping God, different settings, different situations. And
yeah.
I think, you know, as we walk with God, he takes us into those different areas, doesn't he? You know, where we are in our journey, I guess, you know.
Yeah, I think it's like it's totally where our heart is. And God really challenged me on that, actually, as well, when we were in a curacy church, and that was a little bit more traditional. And I struggled with that at first because, like David, I prefer the kind of lively, charismatic kind of worship. But I remember really clearly singing a hymn one day to the organ, and I was just mumbling it and going, And then God really challenged me. He's like, look at these words. Do you mean these words? These words are exalting me, and your heart is not exalting me. And that really, really challenged me that day. And from then on, I knew that I had to actually mean the words if I was going to sing them and not just kind of go along with it. And so that changed me a lot and changed the way I see worship, and now I feel like I can go into those settings and worship, because it's not about the style, it's about my heart.
We had a similar experience in the church that we got married at, which was a much more traditional church, and we went every week for four or five months, and went to a Vineyard church in the evening. But one morning I went, and I remember getting a bit grumpy with Kimberly about going, and a bit grumpy with Jesus. And we were there singing this hymn, and the Spirit of God just fell on me and Kimmy, and we were shaking and crying. And all these maybe people that weren't used to that were turning around like, what on earth is happening with those people? And I felt God just, you know, I was trying to sing this hymn through tears, and I can't even hold the hymn, but I'm shaking so much. And I just felt it was God actually just reminding me that actually God doesn't care about the style of worship. It's about our heart.
I did like what you said as well about your geography songs and how they help people learn. You know, that's a well-known phenomenon. My kids learned a lot of their science and math stuff through songs on YouTube. And I'm thinking, I was brought up on Ishmael and Ishmael scripture praise songs. And I know so much scripture because of those Ishmael scripture praise songs. Now I can recite a load. And so, you know, we brought up our kids on those as well, and on Doug Hawley and things like that. And again, they can recite, you know, bits of scripture because of that. And I think, I think that's really valuable, actually. I think if we can, keep doing that for children and the next generation to give them that, really.
And there are some great worship songs that are very biblical. I mean, hopefully all are biblical, but like the first two songs in Sunday, 10,000 Reasons and Give Thanks to the Lord, are kind of paraphrases of different psalms and stuff. And there's a couple of songs that are almost straight out of the Bible, which is good. Anything from the comment stream, Sean, before we get carried away and forget to pray like we normally do?
Another comment from Heather. A Christian songwriter recently said that the same biblical words are taken by each generation of songwriters and come down in a slightly different way, but they are all from God's word. It made a lot of sense.
Yeah. I guess it's proclaiming afresh in each generation the truth David was saying. Well, we're going to have a song now, and it's Raise a Hallelujah. I've chosen that one. So that's good. And we encourage you at home to sing along in response to what we've done. The words will be on the screen. And then as soon as we've sung, it'll be over to Liz, who's going to lead us in some prayer. And me and Sean might chip in if we've got time. And if you've got something you'd like to pray for, please do put it in the comment stream at any point from now on, and we can pray for you. But I'm going to sing quite quietly because the kids are asleep, but I love this one. But yeah, and make sure you mute yourselves, guys, otherwise all they'll hear is us singing away.
Oh, no.
Raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna see in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my prayer. Is wrong. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. I raise a hallelujah.
Raise a hallelujah.
With everything inside of me.
Hallelujah.
Right.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Right, over to Liz to pray for us. We've got 3 minutes till 8 o'clock, but let's not rush praying. And if you need to go at 8 o'clock, we understand. But we're not going to rush the prayers.
Yeah. Okay. So let's use the pray acronym tonight, just to bring our prayers before God. So let's start with pausing for a minute and just throwing off the things that are burdening us, and just laying them at the foot of the cross and just taking a moment to be still. And then let's just take a few moments to reflect and rejoice in God. And I'm just going to read a few verses from Psalm 147. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. So let's just speak out our praise to God and our thanks to God for a few moments. God, we do raise our hallelujahs before you, and we do thank you that you are here by the power of your Spirit, and we thank you that you love us, and that when you call us to praise, it's not just for you, but it's for us, because it fulfills us and it makes us whole. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, that you are an amazing God, the only God, the real God, our Father, who loves us and loves to hear our praise and worship.
We thank you that giving you praise can shift our perspective as we look to you even in the middle of the storm, and that when we look to you, we find you there with us, and we find you there sitting with us and fighting for us. Thank you. And let's just take a few moments to go into the ask bit of the acronym. So let's ask God for our prayer requests now. And yeah, do join in on the stream with that if you like. If you've got any prayer requests, things you'd like us to pray for tonight, people you'd like us to pray for, let's bring our requests to God. Father, we do bring before you those who are struggling tonight, and those who perhaps when listening to this are thinking, how can I sing praise to God when my life is falling apart and when circumstances are so difficult? And Lord, we lift up these people to you. We name them in our hearts to you now. And Lord, we ask that you would minister to them and help them see you in it with them. I pray for those who are ill, and for those who are grieving, and for those who are just struggling financially and in any other way, Lord, I pray that you will speak to their hearts by the power of your Spirit. Amen.
Yeah, Father, we think of those who we might know who don't yet know you, don't yet know your love. We pray that maybe our worship of you, our singing about you, our lives singing about you, Lord, our hearts making music about you, that might be a sign to them, not of how holy or how good we are, but of how wonderful and faithful you are. So, Holy Spirit, would you be at work, please, in the hearts and minds of those that are yet to call you friend and Lord? Would you bring them close to you, please? We lift you high with that promise in Scripture that when you're lifted up, you'll draw all people to yourself. So, Lord, we lift you up, asking that you would draw people to you. Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord, as we ask that the situation in this country where we nearly 100% of the people have been vaccinated and over half have had the second jab, Lord, we just pray that that would continue, and that Lord, there would be a sense of calm, a sense of peace, a sense of the commitment to trying to make people safe, of trying to make people well, and that there wouldn't be complacency, Lord, that people would realise the severity of the situation, and that to take the precautions, Lord, that need to be taken with masks, social distance, and continue to do that, Lord, and being careful in how that they get move around, Lord. I just ask that for wisdom for people and discernment in how to be and what to do to ensure that we can move forward as a nation in safety, vaccinated, and looking out for one another. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, I pray for Dolores and for Danny, both in ICU with COVID. I just pray, Lord, for healing and strength. Pray that they would both know you close to them. And I just pray for all the staff who are still working on those COVID wards, Lord, that you would just strengthen them and help them know that you're by their side, just to get through all of this. So we lift them up to you and all of those working in care settings. Amen. And so we just finish off by yielding to God now and saying yes. So, Father, we say yes to praising you. We say yes to praising you when it's too hard and when we really don't want to. We say yes to praising you when it doesn't suit us and when we don't like the style of it. And we say yes to praising you when we're in pain and when we're struggling and suffering. And we say yes to giving you glory and to worshipping you with our hearts and with all the areas of our lives.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thanks, Sean. Thanks, Liz. Thanks, everyone, for joining us tonight. If something that's been said has, you know, kind of got you right there and you want to talk to one of us about Jesus, drop us a message. You can email me, david@allsaintswellington.org. If you're friends with one of us three, if you know us, drop us a message. We'd love to talk to you about it. Even if you're not our friend, why not become our friend by talking to us about Jesus? That would be cool. We'd love to talk to you about what we believe and what we sing about. Some very brief notices. This Sunday at church, in case you missed it, we're allowed to sing. We'd ask you to wear a mask for the duration of the service, please. And there's no need to book, so you can turn up. But we'd love it if you'd all turn up at 10:25, because that's kind of not the point. So if you can kind of stagger your arrivals, we'll do that unofficially. But if you're able to turn up maybe at 10:10 and you don't mind sitting and waiting, that's okay. If you're coming with little people, don't worry. There'll be enough of us arriving early that don't mean that you have to come and keep them entertained for another extra 20 minutes. And if you're coming with little people, we're doing kids groups throughout August for 4 to 12-year-olds. So we'd love to see you. And on a slightly different cheeky topic, my book's being released this weekend. And you will be able to buy it in church on Sunday. My Sunday wedding, you'll be able to buy it. I've got a little card machine and everything.
Woohoo!
That's very exciting. And you two lovely people are coming on Saturday night, I believe, to the book launch. Hopefully Coffee. So that's going to be very exciting. Eek! So I'd appreciate everyone's prayers for that, because I've no idea what I'm doing. But it'll all be great fun. Right. Should we do a funny wave to say goodbye, but if people are listening, we'll have to do a sound effect to go with that wave. So I'll go.
I'm not sure.
A funny wave.
Is it sort of this sort of thing? Is
that's
it?
That's a funny wave. Yeah, that's fine. You've got to do a sound effect. So okay, people are listening and not doing. So I'll go first. That was me. That's David. Over to you, Sean. Great sound effect. Brilliant. Go on then, Liz.
One says goodbye.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's a great way. That's, I think a little one. Right. We are long enough now. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll catch you later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.